Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Radio at blogtalkradio.com. You can interact with the show by calling 760-888-5749 or use the hashtag PWP Radio on Twitter. Here are your hosts, Jay Leno and Will TLD Vapidez.
It's TLD.
Yeah.
4-time tag team champion. I'm curvy. I'm cute. I'm a champion.
Ladies and gentlemen, no, this is not Greg DeMarco. This is TLD here for Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Radio here at blogtalkradio.com. We are here aftermath of the Survivor Series. The 27th annual Survivor Series in Boston has come to an end, and we now have 1 hour of time to talk about tonight's events. But if you want to interact with the show, you can use the hashtag PWP Radio on Twitter, and your tweets will be read live on the air. Or you can call in at 760-888-5749. We are ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com. We are an internet-based article website where we do audio, video shows for your enjoyment. Check us out at Twitter, at PWP Powerhouse. Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Will TLD at TLD Wrestling here tonight to talk about the Survivor Series. I've been absent a little bit from these hosting duties due to the Greg DeMarco show being on our show, taking that spot time, but now I am back. I'm glad that we are here to talk about an amazing Survivor Series, but I got to bring in the co-host of the most. Ladies and gentlemen, it's everyone's favorite wrestling WWE fan, Toph. Toph, how you doing, sir?
Hey, I'm doing good. As you just brought me in, I'm getting some information right now. At this very moment, as we're having
the entire world.
Yes. At this very moment, as we're having this conversation, Vince McMahon came out shortly after the show, and according to this report I'm reading, he challenged John Cena, and then Triple H stopped him, and this led to an altercation of some kind.
Really?
No idea. Obviously, this happened immediately after the show went off. Very unusual. I don't know if you noticed, but when the pay-per-view went off, it was like 11:44, so they still had a lot of time left. I'm not sure if they thought this was supposed to be on the pay-per-view, because normally when their pay-per-views end, normally it's like 11:50. Like, normally there's like, 10 minutes before 12, but it ended like about, 8 minutes early. So I'm not sure if they are not aware of this fact, but there's a photo. This is a legit photo, not Photoshopped. Vince came out, and he challenged Cena to a fight for whatever reason, and then Triple H stopped him, and this led to a physical altercation. I'm going to post a picture on the PWP page right now so fans will know this is not bullshit. This is legit, and I don't know what's going on here. But all I can tell you is that Vince came out, he challenged Cena, Triple H stopped the fight, and this led to a fight. We'll see. Maybe they'll talk about it on Raw, or if not, then they'll ignore this, and Vince will come back tomorrow on Raw, just spreading the news, and, that's really all I got to say about that.
Well, this actually might not be a bad idea. They let the pay-per-view go off pretty hot with John Cena and Randy Orton both in the ring at the same time. Now you've got the internet rumor going around about what happened after the show. This could actually help Raw. With people coming into the show, it's pretty clear the Big Show feud has come to an end. Now knowing that John Cena was in the middle of that ring, and we saw the world champion and the WWE champion at the end of the show, what does that mean? Do you think that we're getting even closer to a two men that won championship? Do you think it's going to happen?
Well, the only problem is, what does this do for the Royal Rumble? What does the winner get out of it? I mean, I think it's pretty much, as soon as I heard that Cena was coming back, I knew right then and there that title unification was coming. So if they want to do it, they can do it. But the big question is, how does this affect the Royal Rumble? What does the winner get? Are we going to get a triple threat at 30? Because this is the idea that I have. I'm thinking we might get like a 2004 kind of deal, like somebody will win the Rumble, but there'll be some type of title thing, and this will turn into a triple threat. So I'm all for the title as being unified. I've been wanting them to be unified for quite some time now. But, again, the big question is, what does this do for the Rumble? And who's going to win it? You know, that's a big question. What do you think?
You know, if they're going to combine championships, I would think they would do it at the biggest show. Maybe perhaps have the world title be on the line, the Royal Rumble or something like that, make it a championship-style match. I don't know if the unification, this might be more about the face of the WWE more so than the championships, but to include the two champions in the main storyline in WWE programming right now might be the best way to go. And if you talk about face of the WWE, if you want to know who the true face is, it's John Cena. It's not Randy Orton. With John Cena coming back now, you have a true, you know, the face of the WWE battle here between John Cena and Randy Orton, and it actually will mean something. So I find this to be quite intriguing going into the next show. And now that you brought that up, I think it even makes me more interested to tune in the Raw and find out if they're going to show that footage, you know, showing this, I guess, power struggle. Or you said Vince attacked John Cena. Is that correct?
The picture I just posted, the picture shows Vince in the ring as if he's yelling at Cena, and, like, Triple H is, like, in the middle, and Orton's, like, in the background, just sort of there. Apparently the fans popped hard for it, and I'm thinking they went off too early. I'm right now, that's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking they run off early, and they thought this was – I don't understand why they would do that after the pay-per-view would go off air. Because it went off very early. I don't know what time it was in your area because we all live in different time zones, but when it went off in my area, it was like 11:44, which is very early because normally when their pay-per-view's in, it's like 11:49 or 11:50. So there is still some time to do that. So we'll just have to see. I'm guessing they're going to bring this up on Raw as soon as the show starts.
I mean, I would think, based on what you're telling me, you know, it seems like it's pretty hot news right now about this, and definitely something we have to really pay attention to and see where we're going to be going. But I think it was quite interesting since that has happened. We're definitely going to try to post that to our Twitter account so the fans know about it, so we can definitely get that out to the fans. So, but let's go down the show. We had a pretty good hot show. We started off with a traditional Survivor Series elimination match. Most of the tag teams in the side of the WWE, the Usos, Cody Rhodes, Goldust, along with Rey Mysterio, take on the Shield and the Real Americans, with the ending result being Roman Reigns spearing four guys, eliminating four guys, and looking like a powerhouse. They were losing 5-2 to the Shield, and then all of a sudden Roman Reigns destroys everybody. He looked amazing tonight. What a showing by him. What were your thoughts on that show, on that match, more specific?
I predicted the babyface team to go over, but it's one of those moments where you predict it wrong and you're happy you did. As soon as Ambrose got eliminated early, at that moment I knew that the heel team was going over, and I knew that Reigns was basically going to be the sole survivor. So it was kind of one of those moments where you're like, you know, darn, as you're watching it, but you're like, eh, you like Reigns. So, yeah, it was a good performance. You know, don't want to spread any more IWC rumors, but I couldn't help but notice the lack of work from Mysterio, so I'm guessing he may not be a fully 100% yet. He didn't do that much, but he looked good. He got the spots. It was a good tag team. I wish Cesaro did a little bit more, but I guess it would be kind of awkward seeing as how, you know, he doesn't really have much relation with the Shield. But, yeah, it was a good match. They made Roman Reigns look good. Ambrose, you know, he got eliminated early, unfortunately, and Rollins was just sort of there. So it made Reigns look good, and I got him over, did his job. So, you know, Roman Reigns, you know, that Batista-ish slow babyface push is definitely on the way.
Yeah, I mean, well, you know, maybe not. Maybe he could be a dominant heel, too. We don't know right now. I mean, simply, but the fans were reacting to the Shield, and they were really enjoying the match. And I thought 5-on-2 for those two guys to last and beat everybody on the opposite side, with one guy in particular being four, that makes him pretty dominant. That's a very dominant, if you were to go back in history and look at dominant guys in a Survivor Series match, Roman Reigns just got put right on the top. He just looked amazing tonight, and I applaud the way that match went. So very happy to see that happened. We're going to definitely post that right now on our Twitter page about what happened afterwards. We don't know yet. So let's move on to the next match, and let's talk about, let's see, what was the next match? I even totally forgot right now. I'm sorry. I lost my page.
Skip the pre-show, or did you want to talk about that?
What was that?
We skipped the pre-show, or did you want to talk about that?
You know what? Let's talk about the pre-show a little bit. We saw Mr. Main Event, The Miz, against Kofi Kingston. What were your thoughts on that match? Because it was actually a pretty good match from, I mean, as far as the action goes, I was very entertained by it. But what were your thoughts on it?
It was a good match. Miz is getting better in the ring. Just very unusual, the mannerisms of The Miz. This is supposed to be a heel turn, and at the very beginning of the match, he basically pulled a Ring of Honor and put his hand as if like a gesture for a handshake. And then Kofi shook his hand, which is a very unheel-like maneuver. And halfway through the match, Miz attempted to use the figure four, which again is weird because Ric Flair, when Miz was a face, Ric Flair kind of gave the move to Miz. And typically that's a face-like action in wrestling. I mean, you should know. And he tried to use it. Kofi countered it. That's a babyface-ish like move. And then Miz beats Kofi. And then when the match is over, Miz offers his hand again. And then Kofi just slaps him and walks off.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm confused. I'm like, wait a minute. Did they just, I mean, obviously they didn't turn Kofi heel, but I'm very confused because I thought that Miz was supposed to be a heel, but in this match, he was acting like a face. And the finish, I mean, Miz beat him clean. Like, it wasn't like Miz pulled the tights, you know. Kofi went for the SOS, and Miz countered him to a small roll-up, 1-2-3, no holding the tights, no hands in the ropes. Miz beat him clean, and then he offers a handshake, and then Kofi just slaps him. And just very strange. I don't know what that was. I mean, the match was good, but it's very, very strange. I don't know what I just saw. Like, did they just turn Kofi heel? Is Miz still a heel? Is he a face? Is he tweener? I don't know what they accomplished with that. I was very confused. What about you?
I think they're doing a slow one. I mean, obviously we saw what happened on Raw that led to this match, and not too sure about what they're doing with it. I think Kofi was just pissed off, and based on what The Miz did to him last time, he kind of slapped him in the face, if you, I guess you could figure, when he did that. So I guess he just returned the favor. I don't see it going anywhere. It's just a pre-show. So I don't see it going. I think we're overlooking that kind of feature on him. I think he's just mad about what happened, and he's just taking his frustration out. But I could be wrong. Maybe there could be more to it. I don't think Kofi's going to turn heel. I don't see that. I mean, that would definitely be something different. But I don't think that's
A good match, though, right? Wouldn't you agree?
Oh, absolutely. I thought it was a great match, great false finishes. I thought that part was really great. I think the fans are really into it as far as the match goes. I think people want Miz to be a heel. It fits more his character, what he does, who he's about, you know. So I would say if Miz is going to continue on this track, then I'm all for it. I think fans are just not reacting to him as a face. So we'll find out. Let's go forward into the show. With the Intercontinental title being on the line, Big E Langston against Curtis Axel for the Intercontinental title. I don't really want to talk about the match too much because the fans weren't really into it. So, but what are your thoughts on Big E Langston going forward as the Intercontinental champion? He defeated Curtis Axel. Axel's now going to be kind of put on the back burner, which is a shame because people were really into him when he first got into the Federation, winning the Intercontinental title on Father's Day, which they emphasized greatly about it, but no fans were invested into the match. I mean, honestly, the Total Divas match was more investing than this one, but what were your thoughts?
Oh, I mean, I can't really blame the fans for not reacting. I mean, it's pretty obvious. I mean, you knew Big E was going to win. I mean, you knew he wasn't going to drop the belt as soon as he won it. And, you know, Curtis Axel isn't the most charismatic guy out there. I mean, great in the ring, but not charismatic. But Big E's cool. Big E's cool. A lot of folks think Big E has some heat with fans. The reason why a lot of fans don't like Big E is because, you know, I think it's public knowledge that he's good friends of John Cena. And so many fans think that Big E is getting his push because he's friends with Cena. So fans kind of put him in the same light as Sheamus. Remember when Sheamus was getting his push back in 2009? And, you know, many felt like he was getting a push because he was Triple H's friend. But, you know, Big E's pretty good in the ring. He's very athletic. He can do a lot of power moves, a lot of flying moves that most big guys can't do. He's actually really funny on Twitter. He lifts a lot, and, you know, he's a cool dude. I don't have a problem with Big E Langston, you know. So I wish him nothing but the best, and I think he'll be a World Heavyweight Champion by this time next year.
Do you think, when's he going to happen to Curtis Axel, though? I think that's a big thing. We know Big E's going to be destined for big things.
Yeah, well, that's the problem. I think Ryback and Curtis Axel are two huge question marks. I mean, their credibility is nearly shot at this point, more so Ryback than Axel. We'll get to him later. But, yeah, that's a very good question. I mean, it's like Ted DiBiase all over again. You know, great look, you know, has the family name, but, you know, it doesn't matter how you look. It doesn't matter what your last name is. If you don't have charisma, or more importantly, if the fans don't connect with you, you're not getting anywhere. So Axel, you know, Michael McGillicuddy, whatever he calls himself, he needs to think of something, because if he doesn't, he's going to slowly but surely become one of those guys that's just going to vanish. You know, guys like Yoshitatsu, guys like Alex Riley, guys like when they debuted, they got pushed to the moon, and then when it didn't work out, they just faded off into NXT in dark matches, never to be seen or heard from again. So he has to think of something very quickly, or he's going to end up like one of those guys.
I couldn't agree with you more. We're going to see. We have someone on the line. Area code 626. You're now on the phone. What's your name and where are you calling from?
I'm Jason, and I'm calling from Brawley.
Jason from Brawley, thank you for calling too. Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Radio, man. We're talking right now about the Intercontinental Championship match. Did you watch the Survivor Series?
I did. And I loved the part when they used the butt plugs.
The butt plugs. I don't get it. You have to explain that to me.
Oh, they use them like it's like a training exercise. Like they put them in their butts and like it strengthens the anus muscle.
Interesting. I may have to try that. So, what are your thoughts on the Intercontinental Championship match?
I don't know. It's kind of hard to think about, like, but the butt plugs and the anal beads, those are, like, a thing they use a lot. And they're really all about feeling how they have advanced strength.
Yes, anyway. So, let's talk about the next Survivor Series traditional elimination match. It was Total Divas against what we call the True Divas with AJ's team. What were your thoughts on this,
Toph? Just typical Divas match. You know, everyone got their moves in. Eliminations were really fast. But it was kind of awkward that Caitlyn was on AJ's team. Not sure if WWE realized that. Caitlyn was just sort of out of place. But there were a lot of people that were out of place. I mean, hell, half these Divas don't even get TV time regularly. So, AJ taps. Natty can finally get her title shot and be a Divas champion again. All is right in the world of the IWC. Let's move on. Not much to say about the Divas.
Well, you know, I thought it was interesting how they messed up about knowing that there was another sole survivor in that match. Natalya was with, I believe it was one of the Bella Twins, who actually was still a survivor. She never really got eliminated. But they called her the sole survivor. They announced her that. So I think a little bit of a miscommunication there. But we lost one of the Bella Twins for a while. We didn't see her. So everyone was kind of pretty much thinking she was eliminated. They totally forgot about her. I don't know if you caught that.
Yeah, that was Nikki Bella. I'm not even sure what happened. She was just, like, outside the apron for, like, half the match for whatever reason. I don't know why. She was just there.
Yeah, she was taken out. But I have to say, I was very impressed with JoJo getting in the ring. She actually got some time to work in the ring and actually almost pulled up an upset. I think a lot of fans can relate to JoJo, feeling that she's underused and she has probably as much talent than Eva Marie does. Eva Marie's more of just a body. As far as look-wise.
Man, why was she getting booed? Is she, like, hated or something, or unlikable?
I think she's unlikable in a couple ways. I think, one, she does rub people the wrong way. Two, she thinks she's the shit, and clearly in the ring, when she probably performs, she's already messed up already before. So it seems like there is already a misconnect with them. I mean, as far as the show-wise, she's a very valuable asset to the show. But when it comes to the actual in-ring performance, I think that's something she's not going to pick up on very quickly. But JoJo, on the other hand, the way she's kind of shown on the Total Divas show, and I do watch it, we definitely see her being in the ring more, she's the younger of the two. And I think she can have a career. You saw a couple moves from her that were pretty great. Now, of course, granted, that has a lot to do with the other person on the other side, but it made her look good and believable. But I thought the ending of it was great with Natalya using the sharpshooter. I thought, you know, that was a pretty cool scene with using both of them. Bret Hart was at that show doing the guest, the Hall of Fame up where they do at the pre-show area. So I thought that was pretty cool that she got the win.
Yeah, that's cool. I mean, they were teasing it like it was going to be Natalya versus AJ a few months back, and then they just dropped that, and for whatever reason, she just started picking up the belt.
It did happen, but Natalya did lose that match against her, so that kind of got put on the back burner, and then they let Nikki kind of roll in there, but then she got put on, and now I think they're going to kind of switch back to Natalya. Based on that ending of that match. Or maybe Nikki, we don't know, because Nikki was still technically in the match. So but we're going to move on. We're going to talk about the next match, and this was the surprise match that we didn't see coming. Ryback comes out during the Hall of Famers trying to say something on the big entrance. We had Mick Foley, Booker T, Bret Hart up at their, whatever you want to call that. And then coming out is Ryback, who doesn't claim he's a bully, and he wants to fight someone, and long and behold, the return of Mark Henry has commenced. As Mark Henry comes out, I did not read the spoilers. I kept spoiler-free. I heard about a spoiler coming in, but I completely ignored it, and I was happy to see Mark Henry come back and do the win. Again, it just felt like the WrestleMania match, but I was glad Mark Henry came out the victor.
Yeah, I mean, Henry's great. I'm a big fan of him. I love the new Rick Ross look as well.
Yes. He did shave his head and has a beard now. Good for him. I'm very happy he's returned. But, again, it shows where Ryback is kind of going now. The fans just don't want to stop chanting Goldberg. It never will stop. I don't know how WWE can get around the fans not chanting Goldberg. I mean, what do you think, Tove? How do they get around Ryback, not being called Goldberg Chan? How's that possible?
They can. He's fucked. He's basically a new generation renegade. Totally serious. And hopefully he doesn't kill himself like the renegade did. That would be unfortunate, but he can. He's fucked. You know, there is no other way of – there's nothing they can do. So.
Well, you know, it's interesting because when he was part of the Nexus, no one was doing that when he was part of Nexus. But the moment he branched out and did that, that's when people started doing it, you know. So I mean, it was very soft, but then it gradually grew, you know, when he started, being more like over exploding the way he did, you know. So, but when he was with Nexus, no one really even did that to him. So, I mean, do you think it's just the way
because
he
was built, he didn't have the Ryback gimmick.
Right. Well, still, but he's still. Do you think the name has something to do with it too?
No, it's just a gimmick. The gimmick of Ryback is basically to be Goldberg, which is where the Goldberg came from. Skip Sheffield is Skip Sheffield. Skip Sheffield was just a member of Nexus. He didn't have a gimmick, which is why it wouldn't have happened. Now, maybe we don't know. Maybe if Skip Sheffield had gone longer without getting injured, maybe Goldberg chance would have happened. We don't know. But Ryback, the whole gimmick. When it debuted, like not who he is now, but when he debuted, was basically Goldberg. And you know, WWE really booked themselves into a corner. Now it's no, and nothing in wrestling is original. So you know, everything has been done before. So there's nothing wrong with basing a character off Goldberg. You know, he was a phenomenon. There'll never be another one. But the thing is, if you're going to base a character, you need to do something different. Like, if you want to make Ryback like Goldberg, he can be Goldberg, but make something different about him that makes Ryback Ryback. You know what I mean? And they didn't do that. They just made him a carbon copy paste of Goldberg. And this is one of those moments where stuff like this is the reason why older fans stop watching wrestling, because it's like they're tired of having their IQ insulted. WWE at times thinks that, you know, their fans are stupid, or do you think that their younger fans will not know their history and will not do their homework? But that's not the case in the era of the internet and YouTube, when, you know, someone just starts a Goldberg chant and then fans go on YouTube and look up who's Goldberg. And, you know, it's not Ryback's fault. I mean, it's WWE's fault. So, I mean, he just does what he's told to do. I feel sorry for him, you know, because he is a good worker. You know, it's not his fault.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a good guy. I haven't heard any bad stories about him. It's just unfortunate.
I kind of didn't like him and Paul Heyman as a team, where he was like, they were kind of having this love relationship in a way, which I thought was quite, they loved Ryback. And so I did like that. I thought that's one of those, I thought that was a little more interesting. But I just got some more idea of what's going on with the behind the scenes. Looks like Kane was the one that went after John Cena, actually, from what I'm reading on a Twitter posting, that Kane went after John Cena, but Orton, I guess, kind of calmed him down, and then Hunter went right back out, wanted to go after him again, but then Vince came out and basically told him to go to the back. So this is where they could kind of leave that, too. It looks like it was Kane, not Vince, that was going after him.
This is the report that I'm reading, because, you know, reports always differ and stuff. I'm pretty sure we'll have a solid idea of what really happened tomorrow. The report I'm reading, and I'll keep this short, says John Cena challenged Randy Orton for a champion versus champion match. Nowhere does it say title unification. It just says champion for champion. Kane then tried to go after Cena, but Triple H stopped him. Kane tried a few more times, and Triple H kept stopping him, prompting Kane to grab for a choke slam. But Orton calmed Kane down. Then they all went in the back. Cena took the mic, talked to the crowd. Triple H then came back, and Cena challenged Triple H, trying to see if he still has it. Triple H took off his tie and his coat, and this apparently got a strong reaction, and went to the ring. And then Vince came out and stopped Triple H. Cena then taunted Vince, and this led to Vince taking off his tie and jacket. But then Stephanie came out and stopped him. And then the authority walked back, and that was the end. So Cena challenged Orton.
The last part, I am reading
oh, what, that
before Dan? WrestlingInc.com, and you forgot the Los Matadores Ole as well.
Yes. So Cena challenged Orton.
That's a very important part.
Okay, yeah, just showed up.
Yep, so we're reading this online as of right now. Let's see if it has any – maybe it's just something to do for Boston. Maybe they are not going to play into it as much as we think. But you never know. So, but if you're listening to this show, we have about a half hour left on the show, and we are available on iTunes. So if you are unable to watch the show right now, you can catch us on iTunes. Every episode is on there. We have Homicide, who just joined us this last week or 2 weeks ago. I had a great interview with him. We've had interviews from people from PWS, including Eric, the owner of PWS, the co-owner. And we've had many interviews with John Morrison. You know, we have some pretty big ones coming up, which I'm going to let Jay take care of. But every Tuesday night, we do have a show. We do at 9 p.m. That might be taking a hiatus, but as of right now, we're still on the air going strong. And we are going to be filming the end of the year awards. So go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/Pro Wrestling Powerhouse. You can put your votes in. Your vote will definitely matter in this when we will announce at the end of the year awards who are your favorite wrestlers, your worst wrestlers, your best matches, your favorite moments. So definitely go to our Facebook page and check that out. Till, did you put your votes in yet?
Yes.
All right, so Toph put his votes in. Now let's move on to the top three matches of the night. John Cena in his home state against Alberto Del Rio. So what were your thoughts on the match, Toph? Break it down.
I skipped it. I have no interest in the match whatsoever.
Did you actually watch it?
No, I didn't watch it. I could have, but I chose not to. That's the only match.
Not to watch. Okay,
yeah,
well,
that's the only match on the entire show I didn't watch.
Well, I didn't really pay too much attention to that match. We all kind of knew what was going to happen. John Cena did retain the championship title, as most people would have predicted in Boston. It wouldn't make more sense. The one thing that you didn't miss, Toph, which I thought was quite interesting, right on camera side, there were about 10 signs that said John Cena sucks, right on hard camera side, and anti-Cena Nation. It was actually quite funny. If you actually try to look up at least some video, you will see a bunch of black signs going across, I would say, almost to the top of the camera. But John Cena did panther to them. When he after he won the match, he posed with the World Heavyweight title right there where the Cena sucks signs are clearly in the background.
He does that a lot. If you remember when he won the title at WrestleMania 26, that that famous I Hate Cena guy, the black dude, was like in the front row, and like after Cena won, he like posed for a picture right in front of him. Cena loves that.
And that which prompted the Cena Sucks t-shirts, by the way. I would say that was
that
prompted it. You know, and yet us fans were, we bought them and gave Cena more money and more juice.
Exactly.
So, you know what? You might as well turn a negative into a positive, and that is what they did with those t-shirts. They don't sell them anymore, but it was quite funny. It was definitely quite funny when that happened. But John Cena retains, not surprised. You know, where does Alberto Del Rio go from here?
He goes nowhere. He's done. He'll just be an upper mid-card guy that'll just drift, you know, and they'll use him when needed, you know, as an emergency main eventer, you know. You know, he'll be like one of the last guys in the Rumble, but he won't win. I'm sure whatever the next Elimination Chamber match is, you know, he'll be there. He'll just be the upper mid-card guy that'll just drift. Del Rio's reached his limit. He can't do anything else. You know, his face run flopped, and everything about him that was cool, they took away. You know, they took away the car, they took away Ricardo Rodriguez, and, you know, he's reached his limit. You know, I think it all goes downhill for Del Rio. Not to say that he'll be bad, but it's not getting any better, you know.
Who do you think is on the roster right now? If you had the pencil and the pen or the iPad, who do you think you would put against Alberto Del Rio next? Who do you think he would have the best feud with?
Well, someone new or anybody?
Doesn't matter. You have the pen, the paper, and the iPad.
Oh, okay. Well, I would. If it was up to me, I would team Del Rio with Unico. They would be a tag team, and I would have them feud against the Road Brothers. And down the road, this would eventually lead to a Cody Del Rio feud, which could then, you know, get Cody over. That's what I would do. But
I think Unico and Epico and Los Matadores, imagine having that group as like a stable.
That was the plan, according to what I understand, because that was the weird thing was, you know, when they did that Sin Cara feud and then he unmasked and he was Unico, he had brought in Epico and Primo. And this was going to lead to, like, a faction, like the LWO. But according to what I understand, I remember reading the dirt sheets at the time, it was dropped because someone thought that it was offensive and stereotypical. And that's why they've kept them very separate.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think Hunico would be a good addition to come back and maybe him with Alberto Del Rio, get him away from that main event scene. Maybe he needs a little bit of a backseat just to pull him right back up and get some good some heat back from the audience. But let's talk about probably the match of the night. It was CM Punk, Daniel Bryan against the Wyatt family. When I look at the Wyatt family, do they remind you of the Powers of Pain?
Yes, they do.
Yeah, that's exactly, I realized it this weekend. I was like, that's who they are, but better, and with a better gimmick. You know, that's who they are. And I'm very
there's
happy
a lot of,
to see
a lot
that.
Of. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff mixed there, you know. But that's good, though. There's not really any particular gimmick, per se, that they remind me of solely. I see a little bit of Powers of Pain. I see a little bit of Dungeon of Doom. I see a little bit of the Ministry. I see a little bit of the Godwins in there, like a mixture of different gimmicks over the years, all jailed up in one. So good story. I was actually at a friend's house 2 weeks ago, and we were watching Raw, and the Wyatt family came out, and my friend has a son that's 7 years old, and when he saw the Wyatt family, he was scared, like he was legitimately like scared of the Wyatt family, and you know that's good, you know they're supposed to be creepy, wouldn't you agree?
No, oh yeah, of course. I mean, Every time, I remember when we were watching the first time they came out, and my fiance was right here on the couch, she was always mystified by what these promos were, and she thought the entrance was cool. She thought the idea of it was really cool. Yeah, absolutely. I totally agree with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a good match. I definitely say that was a match of the night.
Oh, definitely. I think a lot of great what I like about tag teams, and when it's a big match, a lot of times you're going to have one of the team members take the heat, take the punches, take everything, and then you're going to tag in, get the hot tag, and then they go out, and that's the end of the match. But I love tag matches where both of the faces both get time in the ring where they're both beaten down, because every time they're trying to get control, one doesn't look better than the other, and both of them are trying to do their best, but they just can't beat them. And that's why I like when we have two hot tags in tag team matches, because it makes it feel so much more important, especially that the faces just can't overcome these heels. And when they do, the audience reacts the way they reacted tonight. The fans everywhere live love CM Punk. They love Daniel Bryan. They were doing it during the main event, too. They were chanting Daniel Bryan. So why is it that the casual fan will not buy into Daniel Bryan and CM Punk? Because it's clear they're not. So,
well, I disagree.
I mean, that's
CM Punk. I think the casual fans are buying into Daniel Bryan. I think casual fans love the beard. I think they like the T-shirts. I think they like the yes chants. I think they just personally sabotage Daniel Bryan. But I agree with you on CM Punk. I don't think that CM Punk is a casual draw, and that's the truth. CM Punk fans get angry, but it's the truth. He's not a casual draw. He's not. I do think Daniel Bryan is. I just think that the SummerSlam buy rate just wasn't as good as they thought it would be. And, you know, what they're really doing with Daniel Bryan is very reminiscent of what they're doing. It's very reminiscent of what TNA did with Samoa Joe. And I don't know if you remember, but when he first won the title, it was a really big deal. You know, he put his career on the line. He beat Kurt Angle. Fans were happy. Joe was like one of the hottest acts, not just in TNA, but in wrestling in general. And it was like once Joe had the belt, they were planting the seeds to what would eventually become the Main Event Mafia. And Joe started feuding against, like, older established veterans like Booker T and Scott Steiner and Kurt Angle. And every single match he had with them had these really shoddy finishes that were just really weak. And, you know, it wasn't Joe's fault. It's just when you keep having these finishes that are weak with no finish, it made Joe look bad, and fans started to lose interest. And so eventually Joe fought Sting, and then he lost the title to Sting. And the plan was is that they were going to give the belt to Sting for the Main Event Mafia, and then later on Joe would get it back. But he never did. He never got it back. And to this day, he still hasn't got it back. And so when I see Daniel Bryan, I get scared. Because it's the exact same, like, you know, he won the title, Orton cashed in, and then he had a series of matches with Orton, each one of them with, you know, some type of bullshit finish, which led to him being stripped of the belt and led to the feud to continue. And then Orton finally wins, and then when he wins, the dirt sheets are saying the exact same thing. Oh, well, the plan is for Orton to win the title now, but down the road, Bryan will win it back. Like, that's exactly what they said for Joe, but Joe never got it back. And then as time went on, Joe just got complacent. And, I mean, you know the story there. So, I mean, I definitely agree with you that casual fans seem to have difficulty investing. But I believe that Daniel Bryan is over. I'm seeing a lot of kids with Daniel Bryan shirts. I think the beard is popular. I think the yes chant is popular. I just think that they sabotaged them.
Well, you know, I think the way they planned that out was wrong. I think Daniel Bryan even – I don't think Daniel Bryan ever should have got a rematch. If they never wanted Daniel Bryan to be in the championship picture, they never would have even given him a shot. I think if they would have just screwed him and then not give him a title shot, and then, of course, the Royal Rumble is the only opportunity you definitely get a chance, then they have to give him a shot. That, to me, would have been better instead of having him and Orton fight the last 2 months. And I think that would make people more invested in Daniel Bryan getting his chance, basically doing what Vince McMahon would do, saying you'll never get another shot at this championship belt, but Stone Cold would always find a way somehow to do it. But he would never give it to him, you know, because he wanted to. You know, and I think that's the difference between what Stone Cold and Vince McMahon did and then what the authority's doing with Daniel Bryan. But, yeah, I agree. He's over. I love him. I have one of his T-shirts. I have a CM Punk T-shirt. I'm a huge fan of them. If the fans are just not buying into the show, that's why I think tonight was trying something different. But I think the fans...
I'm just mostly... I'm sorry, what are
you
saying?
No, go ahead.
I'm the most upset is I'm upset at the fact that somebody finally beat John Cena clean, but it means nothing. People hate Cena for different reasons. And the main reason I hate Cena is because there's no end game for him. There's an end game for everybody. There is no end game for Cena. Someone finally beat him clean. He beat Cena clean, 1, 2, 3, and it means nothing because he leaves and then he just comes back and he's the world heavyweight champion. And they're just treating it like it didn't happen. And Daniel Bryan is back in the mid-card. Like, what was the point of him winning then? Like, if that's the case, then you should have just had Cena win and then have Orton cash in. I mean, but then you could say, well, if they did that, then that would have led to Orton-Cena feuding. Well, guess what? They're going to feud now anyway, based on what we saw. You see what I mean? There's no end game for Cena. You know, there has to be, when you book, there has to be a point when a certain person loses, and there has to be like a downward spiral. There is none for Cena. He always comes back,
well,
win or lose. There's no end game.
I think my only way of seeing it is John Cena would just have to lose at WrestleMania. He would have to lose the WWE Championship. And, you know, eventually where they can get a guy to be the face of the company that's not John Cena, where they can rely on, then Cena could turn heel. Then there's nothing to worry about when you have someone replacing John Cena. But one of the things that was really special about the 50 years of WWE DVD, which I listened to, at the very end, they did a last 5 minutes, somewhere around there, if you watch the DVD, they mentioned the four biggest wrestling names that ever held a WWE championship. They mentioned Bruno Sammartino, Hulk Hogan, Stone Cold Steve Austin, and John Cena. If you had to pick those four guys to be the biggest WWE champions of all time, of their era, those are them. Would you agree?
Bruno, Hogan, Stone Cold, and Cena?
Yep.
That sounds about right.
Yep, and that's how I look
yeah.
at it, because John Cena is just a power horse right now. You know, Stone Cold was tried the heel turn, and it didn't work, you know, with Stone Cold. Maybe we would probably like it, but I don't think the younger fans would like it. I think they would turn on. I don't think they'll like it. I don't think they'll accept it because he's so pro, you know, everything, you know, with Make-A-Wish and all that. I just don't think it will ever happen, at least for a long time. But I think going back to the tag match, I enjoyed the match. I thought, the heels did not do anything big, spectacular. They didn't do anything too insane. They did great simple punching, but good tag team wrestling too, which is really important. They kept trying to take out CM Punk when Daniel Bryan was in the ring. And that one time that they were trying to take out CM Punk again, he countered it and was able to get the hot tag. I think that's just smart tag team wrestling. And I think that's what I liked about the match, is that there was a lot of good psychology built into the match. And then, of course, at the end, Bray Wyatt got on the apron, again, teasing to get in the ring, and he did not. So I thought the overall excitement around that match was definitely an A-plus match. It was probably one of the best tag matches of the year.
Yeah, good match. And I like, I always get Luke Harper and Rowan confused. Which one's the one that wears the mask?
Ooh, man, you got me.
I like the one that doesn't wear. He makes, like, weird noises when he wrestles.
That's the old Brody Lee from around this era. Eric Rowan wears the mask. And
I like Brody.
Brody Lee.
Yeah, I like Brody. He's cool. The other one is
guy,
okay.
You know?
Power spot.
Yeah,
but I think
a,
the other one is...
He's a local New York guy. Actually, I watched him in Ring of Honor. But also, when I really watched him was Jersey All Pro Wrestling, because I watched a couple shows where he became the heavyweight champion, and then he didn't appear for a while, and then he kind of didn't show up anymore. But I do remember him being on that show. So it's great to see when you see a guy in action and you remember him, like Brody Lee, and then he goes on to this big stable that he's in right now, which clearly went really strong tonight. And I love the Wyatt family. I don't know. Do you think this is going to continue forward?
Yeah, I hope so. He has a lot of potential.
Yep, I think they have to get another person involved against Bray Wyatt, or at least have Punk or Bryan go after him. Could Paul Heyman be behind them?
I don't think so. I don't think Paul Heyman's needed. The Wyatt family's already over, and Bray Wyatt can already cut promos. You know, and typically they use Heyman for guys that don't, that, you know, lack something. So.
Mm. Well, good point. So let's talk about the main event. It was Randy Orton against the Big Show. Now, this was, a lot of fans in Boston were chanting Daniel Bryan during this match. So obviously the audience was there for Daniel Bryan. That's pretty clear. I thought the idea of Big Show and Randy Orton going outside the ring got the fans back into the match a little bit. Of course, they've been bringing it up all night, where Randy Orton was backstage all night trying to get help that to interfere. But pretty much what they said, no physical outside interference will be allowed. And the key word was physical, because Triple H came out with the entrance music, distracted Big Show. We got RKO, but I think more importantly, we saw the return of the punt. And that's been missing from Randy Orton for a long time. We have not seen a punt from Randy Orton in a couple of years. So what were your thoughts on that? More thoughts on Randy Orton's punt coming back out, and any other thoughts you have about the main event?
That was one of the weakest matches I've ever seen. Let me rephrase. That was one of the weakest main events I've ever seen. I just posted a picture on the page, and a lot of folks, it caused a debate. There's nothing to argue here. That match sucked. It did. Everything about this match was bad, from a logical standpoint, from a continuity standpoint, and from a wrestling standpoint. Earlier this year, Big Show was fighting Randy Orton at whatever the hell pay-per-view it was. I think it was the new one they had, and I think it was Payback. Some pay-per-view they fought. It was earlier this year. Orton was feuding with Big Show, and he was beating him clean, left and right, without any help. Now all of a sudden he's a bitch, and he's afraid of Show? What? Sure, he turned heel, but he didn't become a coward. When did that happen? It doesn't make any sense. The whole match, he just ran like a little bitch the whole match. Orton was never that. When did that happen? When you become a bitch heel, there needs to be a character transformation that makes you a coward. That never happened. Like, there was never a promo. When did Orton just suddenly become chicken shit? He just ran from Show the entire time. The fans were chanting Daniel Bryan and a bunch of other chants for good reason. The match wasn't good. It was a weak, very weak main event. And I don't want to hear anyone defend that piece of crap main event. That was a weak finish.
I think the main event just wasn't strong enough. But of course, we were waiting for what was going to happen at the end, which eventually was a distraction. I think the punt was great to bring back. So that part I liked. I liked the idea of them going outside the ring, fighting outside, get the fans involved a little bit. I think Randy Orton running away was a good idea, but you do bring up that he wasn't running away a long time ago. But again, that's the thing about a heel and a baby face. When you turn like that, you have to change the way you act and think, especially when you're facing a bigger guy. Remember, Randy Orton wasn't fighting for a title. Where now you're fighting for a title, you have to remember your game changes when you're holding on to a championship title, where you don't want to lose it. If you're going to be a true heel, you'll get counted out, disqualified, or you'll run away. I just don't like when Big Show's taking off his feet. I think he's so big and so massive that, like Andre style, that he should not be taken down easily. And when it does, it should be a holy shit moment. But it never ends up being that way because the athletes of today are much stronger and, I guess, smarter to take them down faster, but that's the way I look at it. But I think Big Show is going to be out of the picture for a little bit. You know, I think they need to get the people that the authority has been messing around with, like Big Show, like the Rhodes brothers, Daniel Bryan, you know, get them involved and try to fight these authority guys with John Cena on their side. But, you know, I'm wondering where they're going to TLC with this, because now TLC is the next pay-per-view. And then, of course, we have the Royal Rumble. So What are your prediction for TLC? What do you think is going to happen? Do you think they're going
to
put the two?
Yeah, there's one thing that we forgot to cover earlier in the show. Before the main event, there was a backstage segment with, you know, the Authority, and they were talking to John Cena. This was after his match, remember?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Orton came in, and it was very awkward. Orton had the WWE title with him, and Cena had the World Heavyweight Championship with him. And as soon as Orton came in, Cena walked out the office, and, you know, Orton asked him what that was about, and they didn't say anything. And so then Orton walked away. And, you know, after the finish happened to the main event, John Cena came out unusually for some reason and then got in the ring and basically posed with the world title. And then Orton posed with his title, and then the show went off the air. So I think it's pretty obvious what the plans are. Title unification. You know, we all predicted this as soon as Cena came back. So it's that time.
But what's,
you know,
the right show to do this? I mean, is the right show to do it at the Royal Rumble? Do you think that they'll do it at that show? Whoever wins the Royal Rumble? Yeah, I mean, it sounds like that would make sense.
Either that or we're going to get a triple threat or some type of convoluted finish or some convoluted out-of-the-norm match at WrestleMania next year, like a Fatal 4-Way or Triple Threat or something. So we're not going to get it at TLC. The plants were obviously – the seeds were planted tonight, obviously, because that was too – I mean, it's one thing if it was just a segment. Like, you saw the segment, and the very last image you saw was Cena and Orton in the ring holding those titles. So it's pretty clear – a title unification is happening. It may not be Cena and Orton, but it's coming. So I hope they do it at Rumble. That seems to be the only way out of it. So,
well, to me, I think that would be the best spot. I really think that having the Royal Rumble be one of their big shows, their big, I guess, three now we can call it, one of their big three shows, and to have a unification match plus a championship match for the Royal Rumble itself, that's big. Because
the only negative I can give that is you do the unification at Rumble, more than likely Rumble wouldn't main event again, which would be a first. That would be like the first time it did a main event in two consecutive years. I think that would be.
It has happened before where we've seen the WWE Championship be the main event. I remember that the Royal Rumble 97 when Stone Cold won. Obviously, where they were was they were in San Antonio, so Shawn Michaels and Sid was the main event, which was obviously the right thing to do for based on the person in the match, you know. But there are other times where we've seen the main event be the championship match. Obviously, last year with CM Punk and The Rock, that's a situation. This would also, to me, count that way, because think about it, at the end of the
it
show.
Would.
The,
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, to me, that makes the most sense. And maybe we're overbooking it a little bit, but, you know, it seems like that's the way it's going. But TLC, then, is kind of like a, well, it's there, but the Royal Rumble is the big show. I mean, the TLC, though, will have the gimmicks involved. So
TLC
we'll
will more than likely be, if they do the unification at Rumble, TLC will just be the last filler feuds. They'll give Orton and Cena both. They'll give them, like, you know, one more filler feud. You know, maybe Cena will fight Del Rio again. You know, maybe Orton will fight Show. They'll give them something to do. TLC is good because of the gimmicks. You can improvise in TLC. I actually like TLC. It's a very good pay-per-view, and it delivers most of the time. Unfortunately, it's in December, and, you know, just a lot of things going on in December. You know, the holiday seasons, with the release of PS4 and Xbox One, people are saving their money, and then you have fans that want to save their money for Rumble. You know, because it's the bigger show, and if they have a title unification, that would be money well saved. But we'll have to see. I like TLC. Do you like TLC?
I like the concept of it. I think that the idea of it is great. I think last year I thought last year Ziggler and Cena in the ladder match was a great idea. I thought that was a great main event match for that show. You know, they had some other. I forget who else was in there as well. Another big match. Oh yeah,
that was
Shield against
Team Hell No
right
back.
That was the Shield and Team Hell No. Now, if we did our year-end awards, you know, before that, that was one of my favorite matches last year. I thought that was just a great match with the Shield against Team Hell No. That got so much.
Yeah, that was a very interesting going into it because nobody knew what to expect. It was the first time we had seen
the
a Shield match.
Yeah.
The Shield, we hadn't seen the Shield work WWE style, and no one had ever seen a TLC match without, like, a title, so no one really knew what it was going to be like. But it worked out great for everybody.
Yeah, I thought that was a tremendous match last year. That would be one match to watch if you ever get a chance to see one. So I agree. I think there are some good matches on that show. You know, they've had some pretty good feuds on with John Cena and Wade Barrett. I remember that one time. And then DX and Jericho in that match. There was some, there is some great moments from that show, but let's see what happens. But let's end the show. Again, your thoughts, Survivor Series, if you had to put a money value on this show, what would your paying price be? If you were going to order the show, what price would you pay to see the show?
This would be like an eye pay-per-view, internet, like $15.
$15
the wrestling was
worth.
Fine. Yeah, $15 worth. Wrestling was fine, but nothing overly spectacular. Moment of the night was definitely Roman Reigns, you know, being the sole survivor for his team, eliminating four people. You know, great seeing Hear Me back, great seeing Mysterio back, I guess. But nothing too special. Just felt like an over-glorified Raw SmackDown. You know, I give it a, as far as rating goes, I'll give it like a 6 out of 10. It was okay.
Yeah, I, you know, I thought it wasn't too bad. I thought the Survivor Series first match was really good. I thought that was fun. I liked seeing JoJo in the ring tonight. I took that away where I think she's going to be something, but she's going to be the time. I think she's that underdog baby face that will really get over with the fans. I like that a lot. Natalya getting over. Mark Henry coming back tonight was a big thing for big takeaway. Definitely the tag match. As always, the matches of the night always goes to guys like CM Punk and Daniel Bryan pouring their heart out. And definitely the fans are behind them. And then, of course, the ending with John Cena and Randy Orton. That's a big takeaway to see where we're going in the future. Randy Orton and John Cena to fight each other for the title of face of the WWE. Who knows, but a unification match does look like it's on its way. I appreciate you calling in tonight. I always appreciate your input and help with our show. And we'll see you Tuesday night, right?
Yes, yes. I'll be here.
All right. Well, thank you, Toph, pretty much for calling in. For the fans, I want to appreciate you listening to this show. If you did not watch it live, you can get us on iTunes. You can subscribe to the show. It is 100% free. And guess what? You can go on ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com because that's free too. Actually, it's not. You're paying for internet, but you understand what I'm saying. Go to our website. Tope just posted an article right on our Facebook page that shows what we were talking about earlier with the possibility of Vince McMahon and Kane coming out at the end of the show, which could involve something at Raw. So go to our Facebook page. Make sure you hit us up on Twitter at PW Powerhouse. Hit us up there. Make sure you go to our Amazon store. A little bit of help kicks back a little bit to us. So we do appreciate everyone helping us out. And also, ProWrestlingTees.com. Check out Pro Wrestling Powerhouse. I have my T-shirt. I love it. Make sure you get your T-shirt from Pro Wrestling Powerhouse. And again, a little bit will kick back to us. Also, we are here every Tuesday night. Tuesday night. 9 p.m. You can listen to our show. We got some big guests coming up. A former WrestleMania main eventer is in the books. So please stay tuned Tuesday night. We might get a confirmation on that. And also, the year-end awards are coming up on our YouTube page. Check out our recent visit to Pro Wrestling Syndicate where we interviewed Kevin Matthews and the Hurricane Shane Helms. So could you watch our interview?
Yeah, I did. I watched it yesterday. It was really fun. I love the little three count thing they did at the beginning of the match right before he got kicked in the face.
Yes, Chris Hero came out to a show, first match since his release. A great moment for him, a great moment for the wrestling fans, especially the independent wrestling fans. Definitely check out our YouTube page. It's youtube.com/PW Powerhouse TV, and we will have our year-end awards. We'll be shooting that in December. So for Toph and for the man, TLD, I am out. Thank you very much for listening, and everyone, happy motherfucking Thanksgiving.